Today on Real Radio.
Christmas is an offense to those who refuse Jesus Christ. Christmas is an irritant to those that are intolerant. People have gotten so upset because Jesus is prominent at Christmas and they want him removed. Because his very presence, my friend, suggests that we need him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the holiday we're celebrating this week. It's called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Who has bound the waters in his garment and who has established all the ends of the earth? I love that. The word means he has set their boundaries of all the physical universe. He has drawn the line and that's what they obey. What is his name? The Bible says his name is Yah. That's where we get Yahweh or Yehovah, Yah. And what is his son's name, if you know? Isn't that interesting? Yah, Yahweh, has a son. Judaism says, no, he doesn't. They will find out that he does. Islam says, no, he doesn't. Islam will find out that God has a son. There are many people who deny the personage of Jesus Christ, yet the Bible says from cover to cover that God has a son and he would send him to earth for us. It's called Christmas. It's the great Christmas story. Very important. I'm going to give you some verses, jot them down. This is all the way, by the way, this is all for your arguing for Jesus at Christmas repertoire. So write them down. I know it's early. Are you guys sleepy? All right, good. Here we go. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, written 543 years before Jesus was born. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. God is announcing to the prophet Micah that out of Bethlehem, so this is a test. You put it in the library. You pull it out of the library, and you put it in the laboratory. This verse, into the laboratory. We put it there and we are going to study it and see what happens. Just like if you were to put this verse in a petri dish and put it there and you're going to watch it. Micah 5, verse 2, what's going to happen? And so you watch it for 543 years. And what happens? If you believe the word of God, you begin to focus on the little town of Bethlehem. And as you focus on that town, you see some very interesting events because as the Bible is overlaid on top of Bible, you see a young man with a young woman coming into the town of Bethlehem based upon a decree given by the Roman Empire that there'll be a census. And so they leave their region of life and have to go back down to Bethlehem, the places of origin for them as children themselves. And she there is giving birth. And the Bible said you would recognize the Messiah of the world 543 years before he was born in the town of Bethlehem. But not only that, there would be an announcement made regarding his deity and his characteristics, that he is none other than he who is eternal. Micah 5:2 tells us that his goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. So when you see little baby Jesus in the nativity over at Walmart, and he's plastic and about 22 inches long, understand this. That's a cute little storyteller. That's a cute little representation. That's wonderful. But understand this. He's eternal God. Jesus has always been. He was never born. He's eternal. The great miracle is that Christ would come from eternity and be veiled in human flesh, in human skin, captivated as it were. Imagine, God restricted to human skin. You say, why would he do that? For you. Why would he go through that? For you. What's the meaning of all this for? For you. Christmas is about you and God. It's an announcement that everyone in the world with half a brain, a quarter of a brain, yay, an eighth of a brain, would say, what a great story. Somebody might say, I don't believe it, but it's a great story. It's like this guy who produced this movie that's out right now, The Nativity, or it's coming out. Did you know some states are banning the movie because it's got too much Jesus in it? The guy, he was on Fox News and he said, I'm not even a Christian. I just realized after Mel Gibson's Passion, I can make hundreds of millions of bucks with this theme. I made the movie and I stick true to the Bible story. I made the movie and people are all upset because they think I'm pushing Christianity. He said, I want the money of those who are going to go to the movie. Isn't that something? Man, you associate yourself with Jesus, you're going to get in trouble. You see, how do you have a Christmas without Jesus Christ? And yet that's exactly what the world wants. They want the money, they want the trees, they want the nativity, they want all this stuff. As long as we keep them plastic in that little manger, don't let them get up. Don't let them start saying stuff. Don't let anybody think it's real. Yeah, what's the alternative? A big fat guy in a red suit with reindeer that fly. That's what we're going to believe in. Only if Jesus doesn't exist in your life. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You will get Christmas cards with Isaiah 9, 6. It's Hallmark's favorite. For unto us a child is born. Oh, did I mention that this was written 740 years before Jesus was born? Isaiah's prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's enough to cause someone who wants to study to go nuts right there. A child is born, that happens every day. But a son is given, he came from somewhere else and came born as a baby. That's weird. You need to deal with that one. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father in the English. That's unfortunate. The word in the actual Hebrew is this, governor over time and eternity. Jesus is the governor of time and eternity, and it says Prince of Peace. Everybody, just by tradition alone, even if they've never even owned a Bible, would know who's the Prince of Peace. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I heard that somewhere. And yet that scripture is given 740 years before Jesus was ever born. Now here's something more recent. This is only 2,000 years old. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 2, that God had promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, that's the Old Testament, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written beforehand, that's a reference to the Old Testament by the Apostle Paul, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's all about Jesus. Point number one, second consideration under this, we would have to neglect the biblical accounts in that mankind would be in great need. The Bible announces that the reason for Christ coming at Christmas is that man would be in great need. And I love the fact that the Bible makes no apologies about what it says to us about us. In Romans 3:23, the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there's a Christmas. We need him. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all unclean things, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, they have taken us away. Jesus Christ came because God didn't want that to happen. You guys think, those of you who are struggling with the mean God idea, God's mean, you need to understand something. God says right here, whatever you do for me, or whatever you do good, it's tainted. It's polluted before it even starts. I can't accept it. I'd love to, but I can't. Your offering that you bring to me, it's all dirty to begin with. And instead of him saying, you know what? Away with you. You're gone. I'm going to just make some new people. He said, you know, I got a plan. Because I love you so much. Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, I knew that this would happen. Though I didn't violate your choice, I didn't pressure you into anything, man sinned and fell away from me. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to come down and I'm going to reach out to you, and it's called Christmas. When we honestly look into that little manger as a representation of what it all means, we should weep with joy. And we ought to grow up and handle the fact that though the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we ought to finish the hope. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus has come. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God because He alone is perfect. But Jesus has come. We should be encouraged. We look at the one side of a story and we get all depressed before we get to the end. I hope you don't read a book by starting the book and not never finishing the book. I'm weird about that. When I got saved that week, I read the book of Revelation before I read Genesis. I read the end of the book first to see what happens at the end. Aren't you like that? Read the end of the book. See how it finishes. I encourage every Christian or non-Christian, read the Bible, read the book of Revelation and see how it finishes. And then I want to ask you this question. On which side do you want to be on? You want to be on God's side? You want to be on Satan's side? Pick! Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength," that is, oh, this is good. "While we were still without strength," the word means while we were unable to save ourselves. "In due time," that is at the right time, "Christ died for the ungodly." You see that? Now, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ, baby Jesus, came, born in Bethlehem, to die for the ungodly, then, you understand, are you with me? Then I want to be in that rank and file of the ungodly. You say, are you crazy? Look, He died for sinners so that sinners can go to heaven. Baby Jesus came. Well, then where do I sign up? But see, if you walk around saying, well, I'm not like that, and I've never told a lie, and I've never had an angry thought, and I've never did this, and I never did that, then I guess, you know what? Maybe it's not Christmas for you. But He loves us. The Bible goes on in various parts, Old and New Testament, regarding those who've sat in darkness. And He brings the light. Christmas is an offense to those who refuse Jesus Christ. Christmas is an irritant to those that are intolerant. People have gotten so upset because Jesus is prominent at Christmas and they want Him removed. He's an irritant because His very presence, my friends, suggests that we need Him. I encourage you to be bold like never before. I want to give you some scriptures. You can kind of preface them this way. Number one is this: mankind needs to know the way. Mankind needs to know the way. It's part of us, especially us guys. We have to know the way. At least somewhat close to it. We have to know the way. We want to know. We try to figure it out. I loved what Tony Perkins said a couple weeks ago when we get like a map quest. We got to go from this location A to this location B, and how husbands and wives or males and females deal with the MapQuest printout. The printout says, you turn right, turn left, do this, and it says estimated time of arrival or estimated time of the trip is 2 hours and 25 minutes. And the female looks at it and says, well, how late can I be? How late can I leave the house to get there? And she's thinking about shopping on the way there. And the guy looks at the printout and says, I have got to beat that time. If it's 2 hours and 20 minutes, I think I can do it under 2 hours. We need to know the way. We pride ourselves on knowing the way and how long it's going to take us to get there. Can you handle this at Christmas? This is what it's all about. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Merry Christmas. Mankind is searching for heaven. Every culture in the world is searching for heaven. The most technologically advanced culture to the most backward, removed, darkest jungle culture. They all have their pursuit, desire, longing for heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Merry Christmas. Mankind longs for eternal life. We write books, we dream about things, we send search parties looking for the fountain of youth. Why? To live forever. We fix body parts to make us live forever. All this forever stuff. I was talking to a woman, dear woman of this church, who has been a longtime greeter of this church and used to welcome you into this church as you would come in from the parking lot. And She's on her last leg. She's on her last few days of life. And when you're laying on your bed and they've sent you home, the peace, the assurance, the reality that Jesus keeps his word in heaven awaits you. You know, you just kind of get ready. We prayed together and we talked about heaven and we talked about the transition. Man thinks about heaven. Jesus says, regarding life, regarding living forever, he says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Isn't that great? Mankind longs for these things and for salvation. In John 3:16, at Christmas, like never before, church, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to neglect the biblical accounts if we're going to have a Christmas without Jesus, because it said that the world would benefit from Jesus Christ and his coming. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, it says there, verses 1 and 2, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned, concerning the coming of the Messiah. And then Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, the truth of God gives us confidence of eternal life, which God has promised us before the world began. For God cannot lie. I love it. Many other scriptures I have, I'm not going to quote them right now. Will you just jot them down? Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, read them later. That's your homework about what Jesus came to benefit the world. He healed people. He raised people from the dead. Nobody can find fault with his ministry. Nobody in this world at this hour. No one can find fault with the ministry of Jesus. I challenge the world. What is it that Jesus did that doesn't meet your requirements or standards? What is it? Isn't it interesting? What do you have against God? I guarantee you, literally, you have something against some man or some people, but you have no argument against God. You may think you do. You have nothing against God. State your argument. You have nothing. What has he done? He's given you life. You're breathing right now because of his grace and his goodness to you and I. And Jesus cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, loved people. And why is it, church, that that name can incite a riot right now? What has he done? Isn't it interesting? That very name, which the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God the Father. And by the way, you might say, well, I don't believe in God. It didn't say that. It said every knee. Do you have knees? Check and see. You will bow. You will either bow now, which is a really smart thing to do, or you will bow as you enter eternity without him forever. You think a Christmas without Jesus is tough. Think about forever without Jesus. That's tough. It's called hell, actually. And it was created for Satan and his angels. Man was not to go there. But for some cockeyed reason, man insists to go there. It's bizarre to me. Read later Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 to 16. And read about how Jesus reached out and rescued a lost and lonely world. And then Isaiah 53 is amazing. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us in verses 4 through 7, surely. Now listen to this. This is, again, 740 years before Jesus was born. Listen to what the prophet, under the influence of God, said. Surely he has borne our griefs. This is speaking about the Messiah. He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. God laid on him our sins and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Church, this is the gospel message, the Christmas story, written 740 years before Jesus was ever born. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see how you can't save yourself? He already did it. Just come to him. Receive him. He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he opened up not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. What does the Bible say? Jesus is the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world. Are you guys bored with this? I am so pumped about this. Because we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I don't have to read to you some other book that explains what the Bible says. I don't have to give you a library of books to help you understand your way. God has announced it simply. What story in all the world compares to this human event that Jesus Christ came? Not too long ago, someone was talking to me and they were trying to defend their cult belief, and I was amazed because nothing that they were saying made any sense. And it didn't even make sense to them. You can tell by their eyes. They're talking about it and they start looking left and right, like they're going to say, well, that's stupid what you just told me. That's dumb. But yeah, well, okay. Anyway, and they go on to the next topic. And this was their big rescue. Well, we talk about Jesus all the time, and we have so many things in common with Jesus. Like, that's your safety valve? Oh, you have so many things in common about Jesus. For example, at this time of the year, yes, we have a Christmas tree. We have a little nativity that was given to us by a grandma. We put on the TV, put a little light bulb on it. But outside of that, oh, you have those kinds of things. Wait a minute. Is that the validation? Is that the stamp? We have many things in our faith or in our cult belief system and or whatever our aberrant view. It associates with Jesus. My friend, you better be careful about associating with Jesus because he ain't the boy next door. He's not a friend down the street. You don't casually approach Jesus. You worship him in spirit and in truth. He is God eternal. The Bible says he's our Savior. You have some things in association with Jesus? That's scary. No, it's either him. The Bible's either true or it's not. The Bible is either factual or it's not. And for those who search and see, you're fully convinced. My favorite Christmas verse of all, I'm going to give you right now. It is the best. Are you ready? You're going to love this too. When you get the explanation, it's precious. It's 1 Timothy 3:16. That's an easy one to remember. 1 Timothy 3:16. And I want to read it to you so very carefully. The greatest, in my opinion, Christmas verse ever. Without controversy, the word means with no ability to refute. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. God was manifested. The word is physically appeared in the flesh. Ooh, deal with that. It's called Christmas. Number two, was justified by or in the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Seen by angels. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. That's his mission.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. It's a contemplative look at the holiday we're celebrating this week, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. You know, if Real Radio is aiding in your growth as a believer, let us know. It's quite easy to do so. Perhaps the easiest way is to visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and simply click where it says send us a message. Our number's toll free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you'd like to include Real Radio in your tax-deductible year-end giving, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.